Next item on the agenda, Urbana Harbor Yacht Club Association, 07-1620. After this case, we'll be breaking for lunch, and I'll be able to give you a time. We'll be back. It'll be 45 minutes after it concludes. Hi, Kurt.
That's it?
Y'all just...
Yeah.
Shouldn't take a while to come up. By the way, is that Freeland Mason back there in the back? Pleasure to see you, sir. Missed you.
Urbana Harbor Yacht Club Association is requesting authorization to remove their existing open pile piers containing 129 boat slips and to construct 2,750 linear feet of 8-foot wide floating pier with finger piers and mooring piles to create a total of 139 boat slips at their facility situated along Urbana Creek in Middlesex County. The project is protested by several nearby property owners and residents of the adjacent subdivision. Project is located along Urbana Creek, which is in Middlesex County. Urbana Creek, the general area is circled in red. Rappahannock River, in this area here, Route 3 Norris Bridge, which leads over to Lancaster County, is where the arrow is now. Close review of the topographic map. The facility is located along the eastern side of the creek. This is one of our Vigen aerials from 2002. It shows the existing piers. The facility was originally approved by the commission in 1984 and consists of three, at that time it consisted of three long piers that basically parallel the shoreline of the Urbana Harbor development, a residential subdivision. There are finger piers and mooring piles to create 129 boat slips. A permit was issued in 1999 that connected these two piers right here. Over the time, piers and boat slips have evolved into a dockaminium type facility where the docks are commonly owned and managed by a club association and the slips themselves are sold to individuals. The development along Urbana Creek shoreline includes a mixture of both residential and commercial properties. This is a plan view drawing of the existing piers. The piers are located channelward of the Urbana Creek Harbor subdivision, and the piers are owned by the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club, a condominium. The original permit was issued to a Mr. Ben Hurley in 1984 when the pier facilities and the undeveloped upland were owned by the same party. The development has changed ownership on several occasions since then, and in 1993, Urbana Creek Associates LP deeded ownership of the marina facilities to the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club. This action served to separate the ownership of the piers from the subdivision and most of the adjacent Highland property. Item 7 on Schedule A of the deed also granted the riparian rights associated with the waterfront lots of the Urbana Harbor subdivision to the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club. In the existing plan, just note this is a gap that you'll hear referred to. A good bit here, that's 90 feet. This is the plan view drawing of the proposed facility. The Yacht Club Association is requesting authorization to remove the open pile piers and construct 2,750 linear feet of 8-foot wide floating pier to replace the existing piers, which are in a deteriorated condition. All of the piers are proposed to be connected, and 10 additional boat slips are requested to be added to the facility for a total of 139 slips. The total encroachment of the pier varies along the shoreline, but averages about 150 feet channel to mean high water. Urbana Creek itself is between 600 and 800 feet wide at the project site. And water depths in the vicinity of the pier range between 6 and 10 feet deep at mean low water. This is an image of the tax map. Shows the piers and the adjacent subdivision lots. The project is protested by several nearby property owners and residents of the subdivision adjacent to the facility. They are primarily concerned with the proposal to connect the two most downstream docks. These two docks right here. They also believe that the connection, the protesters are concerned with connecting the docks, and that will eliminate access to their waterfront properties and to the backside of the pier by small boats. They also believe that the connection will prevent construction access to their shoreline for any necessary shoreline construction. I meant to mention at the beginning, there are five new additional protest letters that we've received since the packet was put together. Those are in the back of item 11. Another concern that was raised in a couple of those letters was that the gap in the two piers provides a fire break if a fire were to break out on the pier, and also would provide access to fireboats if the fire spread to the shoreline. The Yacht Club is aware of the protestants' concerns regarding connecting the docks. In a letter dated February 22, 2008, they explained that they want to connect the docks to provide easier access to the clubhouse and pool facilities for the boaters using the downstream slips. They state that these boaters must currently leave the Yacht Club pier and walk through the subdivision streets to access the pool, clubhouse, and other slips. They claim that the elevated open pile walkways connecting the floating piers to the shoreline would provide access to small boats. The cross-sectional drawing, which I'll show in a moment, depicts a 10-foot wide opening at a height of 5.5 feet above mean low water. Actually, I believe that's above mean high water. That's a typo. They also state that the floating piers can be disconnected and temporarily moved to provide access for work barges or any required construction access for the shoreline. I'll move through these relatively quickly, but the applicant did provide a series of soundings which show the depths along the facility, and they move in the order from page 1 through page 5 as you move downstream towards the mouth of the creek. But essentially, you can see that the depths, and these are referenced to mean low water, range between 9 and about 6 feet mean low water. The shallowest is in that curved embayment. This is the area of the gap. You can see, to note on the backside, there's even 6.5 feet on the backside. This is moving along. There's a pump-out facility proposed here. This area is the one of the elevated walkways that's proposed. You can see that there is deep enough water for small boat access anyway. And this is the last section furthest downstream. This is a cross-sectional drawing of the elevated access pier. You can see that it's actually 5.5 feet above mean high water, and with a gap between the pilings of 10 feet on center, so about 9 feet between the pilings. Following our detailed construction drawings, I added them in case you want to refer back to them mainly. Some of these drawings, if they're also in your packet, you'll note that they show a 6-foot wide main pier. They are proposing an 8-foot wide pier. That's a mistake on the drawings. The floating piers will incorporate a utility raceway for electrical utilities in the pier itself. Pages aren't turning very well here. The following aerials are also arranged in order, moving from the bridge downstream towards the mouth of the creek. This is the existing facility. These were taken, I believe, in 2004. This is the clubhouse and pool facility. You can see there's an access pier here, which is basically for one property owner here. And then this is one of the main access piers, and the other one is further downstream. In their report dated September 3, 2007, VIM states that although the impact area is significant, replacing piers and improving public safety is justified if the operation complies with all local, state, and federal regulations. They note that floating piers are generally acceptable when located in water deep enough to allow them to float during all normal tide conditions, which is the case here. They also state that Urbana Creek is condemned for shellfish harvesting, and 10 additional slips may not significantly increase the current levels of marina pollution. They recommend the development of a marina management plan to minimize the environmental impacts associated with the use of the facility. By letter dated November 28, 2007, the Health Department informs us that the project is in compliance with their sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings, and they have no objection to the issuance of a permit. The Department of Environmental Quality determined that the water quality impact should be minimal and temporary, and determined that a water protection permit would not be required. Department of Conservation and Recreation noted the presence of a bald eagle nest in the vicinity and did recommend applicant coordinate with DGIF to ensure compliance with protected species legislation. No other state agencies have commented on the project. The project will not encroach on any public or privately leased oyster planting ground, and as previously noted, the area is currently condemned for the direct marketing of shellfish. This is moving further downstream. This shows the existing 90-foot gap that is proposed to be closed. This is the area where the pump-out facilities are proposed, and this is where there would be an elevated access pier. Also note here that there's a gap in the pier where there are no slips, and I address that in our recommendations. It's just a final aerial looking upstream in this case. Based on the information provided by the applicant, it appears the riparian area associated with the subdivision was severed and is now possessed by the Yacht Club Association. Accordingly, the waterfront lots landward of the pier may not have the riparian right of ingress and egress associated with their lots. Nevertheless, the waters landward of the pier remain state-owned, and the general public, including the lot owners, has a right to access and use this area. The protestants also raise a valid concern regarding the need to be able to access their property by the water for the installation of any shoreline stabilization structures. Staff also understands the applicant's desire to connect the piers. Doing so would provide improved access to the pool and clubhouse and other slips at the facility without having to leave the pier and traverse the subdivision roads. It would also serve to limit the illegal mooring of vessels along the landward side of the pier. Apparently, this has been an issue in the past. In addressing the protestants' concerns, the applicants believe the proposed elevated walkway provides reasonable small boat access behind the piers, and they have stated that they would be willing to temporarily move sections of the floating pier to provide any necessary construction access. The association has stated that the additional 10 boat slips are being proposed to help defray some of the costs associated with the replacement of the piers. Staff does not believe that this is a compelling justification for the additional slips. In fact, the deletion of the slips would allow some reduction in the overall length of the pier. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the following special conditions: that the total number of wet slips shall not exceed 129, and the length of the pier shall be reduced by 160 linear feet. The two pump-out slips may remain, but shall not be leased or sold. The two elevated walkways leading from the shoreline to the slip shall contain an opening of at least 10 feet in width and a minimum clearance of 6 feet above mean high water. The permittee shall provide reasonable access to any barges and construction equipment required to conduct work along the shoreline of the lots landward of the pier. And finally, the applicant shall be required to develop an acceptable marina management plan. We also recommend the assessment at a rate of $1.50 per square foot for the encroachment of the piers and slips over state-owned submerged land. If approved as applied for, that assessment would be $204,729 based on the encroachment over 136,486 square feet of state-owned submerged land. Should the commission approve the project as recommended by staff with the reduction in pier length, it would be reduced accordingly to approximately $193,000. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chip. Any questions of Mr. Nykerk? Mr. Robbins, and then Mr. Schick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one, Chip. With respect to these elevated walkways, what sort of boat use do you contemplate here? I mean, kayaks or just small boats?
Currently, they put, you know, some, you know, even some small sailboats will sometimes be on the back side there, which really, you know, one thing we're looking at with the connection, it appears, is it's kind of self-regulating. We'd be authorizing 129 slips, and we're not having problems with other boats mooring along the back side because there is, you know, a fair amount of water depth back there. You know, what the property owners that are landward of the pier might want to bring in, I would expect would be, you know, on the order of sunfish and that, but there are several of them here that can address that.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick.
Yes, are the applicants willing to accept your restrictions?
I assume that they would be.
The I was just looking that so you're reducing it by 160 linear feet, and that would compensate for the 10 less slips.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And they could even shorten it a little bit more. They're wanting to get some additional width on those slips, and we took that into account too. But they do have this area here where there's currently no slips that would help make up some of that difference as well.
And in their marina management plan, are they going to have how they would disconnect the procedures, not only the pier but also the electrical and the water?
We could incorporate that in. That would be good to have in that as a special condition in this one.
Right. Mr. Fox.
But in your recommendation, you are allowing them to connect 2 and 3. Or what?
That is our recommendation, yes, sir.
Further questions? Well, Mr. Schick.
So this is considered a marina as opposed to a community pier now?
It's what we call a dockaminium. The association owns the infrastructure, and then they sell the slips. Mm-hmm. It's a concept. We've seen a few of them in the state.
But they can't get a lease. They can't go to the bank and get a loan on them, can they?
I don't know about that.
I mean, because dockaminiums, I mean, I know, you know, that mm-hmm. we've had situations where we generally don't approve situations where they're trying to own the bottom.
Right.
This is, so just trying to categorize.
Basically, we consider it they own what they own. They own it. They own an area where they can keep a pier, and then they own some common interest in the facility itself.
Which is the
but, you know, no, they're certainly not gaining any state-owned bottom.
So the number of slips don't associate with the number of lots,
lots
at all.
Not.
They're fact, totally separate.
In fact, there aren't that many lots in the subdivision.
Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, Chip. Mm-hmm. Is the applicant present or represented? Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you, God.
I do.
You state your name.
My name is Dave Lipscomb. I'm the president of the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club.
And you, sir?
My name is Ed Blanton, and I'm vice president.
Okay. Do you have anything that you want to say? One of the questions that came up, I think, from one of the associate members is, will you accept what staff is proffering?
Yes, sir. And we want to thank the staff for the thoroughness and their time. We would ask, and we're not familiar with this process, and we don't want to be inappropriate, but we would ask that the amount of money be considered, reconsidered, that we would have to pay in royalties over the lot.
I believe that's set by code, set by established procedure, and to give you reduction there at that point based on what type of facility this is would be to the detriment and unfair to the other individuals that pay the same amount. Am I correct, Bob? Unless you reduce it. Reduction.
Chip mentioned this morning that they did have one proffer that might merit the commission's consideration when we initially issued the permit back in 84.
Mm-hmm.
If the commission assessed a royalty, it would have been on the encroachment of the structure.
Right, now it's on the full footprint.
Now the replacement structure would be on the area encompassed as well as the structure. If the commission wanted to grant forbearance of the shadow of the new structure from the total, given the fact that there is a building being replaced. Staff wouldn't have any objection to that. Do you understand?
I think I understand that what we would do is give them consideration for what was already permitted back in 1984 under that same parameter,
square
footage on that, but anything new.
Correct.
I mean, would be the bold footprint.
Yes. I mean, you'd still take the bold outline.
Right.
But the commission had previously authorized the encroachment.
Back in the old days.
All we're saying is, even though it's being removed and replaced, if the commission wanted to grant authorization, well, a reduction.
Well,
total square footage, less
okay.
the shadow. We would
all right. Well, we'll ponder that, and we'll get the cart before the horse before I hear from the opposition. But that's something the commission can be considering. Mr. Fox. Direct question.
We have a lot of protest here that indicates from a member of the Arabiano Harbor Yacht Club who says that the board has not provided a membership for the study on the alternatives, that this project has not been authorized by the membership, and the board has not proposed addition of 10 slips. And so on. Is that in fact true, or did that person just not attend the meeting?
No, sir, it is true. This is really the early stages of this project. We noticed when we first started talking about this replacement project back in 2006, the one thing everybody wanted to know was how much is it going to cost. And in order to arrive at that figure, we sort of backed our way through. We attempted to go to manufacturers, contractors, to see if they would give us an estimate. They preferred to know exactly what we were going to be building before they would give us a real good estimate. We've had some close estimates, but nothing we can really present to the board and say this is how much it's going to cost. I mean, I'm sorry, to the owners and say this is how much it's going to cost.
So what you're doing is basically an exploratory committee at the present time and trying to arrive at what you can, the best information you can provide to your membership.
Yes, sir. I don't want
to. I don't want to minimize the term exploratory committee. I think it's a prudent way to do things in the business world to come to a correct number. But that sounds kind of like what it's.
Yes, sir.
Further questions?
We have had open houses.
Your name? State your name, please.
I'm sorry, Dave Lipscomb.
It's Mr. Lipscomb for the record. Go ahead, Dave.
But we have had open houses showing what we were proposing, and it's not just blind that we're going forward.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen. We may have further afterwards. Is the opposition present or represented? I see three hands. Who wants four hands? Who? I'll tell you what I want to do is I want to square everybody in at the same time. Everybody raise, stand up. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give before the commission today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. When you come forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Ed Fisher, and I represent the Urbana Homeowners Association Board of Directors, who, of course, represents all the members. And I have a letter which I've given to Mr. Newkirk, giving me that authorization. The board itself, the overall board, does not oppose the project of improving our slips and our piers. As already stated, we do strongly disapprove of closing that up and denying access to the shoreline. It's
right.
been discussed over and over again, and we could go over all kinds of reasons why that could be needed, and the one that comes up we'd never think about. If this board approves this plan, our request is, and the approval that has already been, that you make it incumbent upon the yacht club to open this up upon necessary access to the property. That is, they would coordinate it, get the boats moved out, and disconnect the piers.
Well, I was thinking the same thing as to when you start doing agreements like this, you want to know what the exact understanding is. Are you asking them to do it 72 hours notice, 24 hours notice, 48 hours notice?
Something's reasonable.
And I'm asking you for that because I want it to come out of here reasonable.
7 days.
7 days. Okay. We'll start with that. Okay.
You might have some objections from some of the other individuals.
That's okay. We'll work with that.
And that's the thrust of our desire, is to keep that available to our homeowners that have paid for that waterfront property there. And that's basically, that's all I have to say. We just want it tied down, if you approve it, who to pay and give access to the land when it's necessary.
Okay.
And that's all I have. We have some other
speakers. All right, thank
speakers.
You.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Mr. Follow-up question.
Mr. Robbins.
Sir, if I could just ask a follow-up. Is the primary concern about being able to get boats in to do shoreline stabilization projects? Is that the...
That would be my primary concern. Who knows what will come up someday that needs to be done by a piece of machinery in there.
Thank you.
One other question.
Mr. Follow-up by Mr. Schick.
In the deeds of these waterfront pieces of property, did they give away their riparian rights?
My understanding is, and it's not completely clear, and what I have in front of me is that, yes, the riparian rights were transferred during this process to the yacht club. That's what we call it, a yacht club. But
when you come up, yes, sir.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
One of the protestants' letters here indicates that one of the reasons you'd want to be able to get behind the piers is in case of a fire. And it doesn't seem to me that 7 days' notice is going to help you on a fire.
Well, that's true. That's an absolutely true statement. Probably an hour wouldn't be enough.
Is there a fire boat in the area?
No.
Thank you.
No. We had a house burn there, and it was by the local fire department.
Is the fire concern a fire on the pier or a fire on the land that you...
Yeah. Both. I assume that those folks that wrote that are here to...
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Who's next, please? Yes, sir. Come forward. State your name, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Clyde Roper, and I live in Urbana Harbor.
Good to have you here, Mr. Roper.
I have... thank you very much. Appreciate the fact that we can be here. I have some additional material that perhaps the members haven't seen. First of all, a couple of general comments. All of us who are in the Homeowners Association also are slip owners and dock owners, so we are members of both organizations. And I want to really stress right now that this discussion about the dock and so forth does not reflect on the overall performance of our board. And it's a specific topic we're talking about. We think you guys are doing, in general, you're doing a great job. So please understand that.
I love when it happens like that around here.
Yeah. We just protest this particular action or series of actions. I have here three additional letters, two with 19 signatures on them from property owners, and another one letter from Mr. Gussie, who is not a property owner but who is a slip owner. Would you like me to read some of our specific reasons? May I ask some questions first? Maybe that will help us understand and make some comments. Is this the pointer?
But please be as brief as you possibly can.
Yes, I will. First of all, where Jim. Is the area of the reduction in length of dock? Is that been, have you recommended where that comes from?
No, we have not.
Okay.
And leave that up to...
So presumably you had in mind on one end or the other end. That's correct. Okay.
Or both.
Yeah. All right. One thing. This area here, which is contemplated for additional slips, right now that is very shoal water, particularly down where the last boats are, right in here. There's a pump out station right there. So this area now, as we argued in this letter, that area where the square dock is located is really quite heavily used during the main part of the season for onloading, offloading. It gives access to emergency vehicles. For instance, this is the driveway that comes down, and there's a little bathhouse there. and then there's the dock, the walkway that comes down. So this is gives access to emergency vehicles as well as other unloading, offloading. That is very heavily used and really should be retained there. We've talked about the potential of fire and the fact that this the break up here where they want to build the connection over, it really does make an adequate fire break. It's 90 feet wide, and you know we hope it never happens, of course. But should any vessel along here or along the south side along here catch a fire, the prevailing winds, we have two prevailing winds. One of them would come right across, right from the northwest, right across here. They would go right down the pier. The other prevailing winds are sort of more westerly that come this way. So you can see that is a potential risk, as well as along the shoreline, of course. As the gentleman over here, Mr. McConaughey, mentioned, if you have an emergency, if you have a fire, it's going to take a lot longer than an hour to get the proposed docks in the opening opened, and that's I think that's a concern too. We really feel we need that access from the standpoint of emergency, also from the standpoint of the landowners who have kayaks, they have jet skis, they have sailboats, they have outboard motorboats up to 18 or 20 feet. I don't believe that covered thing would be adequate for that as well. Again, you've got all these letters here, and I know you're short on time. A couple of things that were mentioned. One is that illegal use of the docks there, and I'm not sure. I don't have any counts on this or how often it happens, but I live in the area. I live in one of the houses there. I take a walk virtually every single day, and I do it 365 days a year when I'm there. I have maybe once in 3 years have possibly seen a boat that doesn't belong there. So I'm really not sure how much of a problem that is to go along that. As I say, we've got shoal water there that would have to be dredged, which would be an additional cost. One thing that is a concern to us as homeowners, two things really. As homeowners, we have, as you can imagine, a very, very significant investment in our properties. And we feel that this kind of closing off of the area along the line, particularly with the connecting bridge, will in fact devalue our property along that area. So that huge investment on the owner's property is something also that has to be considered, and to date we don't believe it has been. Furthermore, the homeowners have no representation on the yacht club board, and I'm not really sure why that is. I haven't lived there for a long enough period of time, but there's been some history as most of these organizations end up having. So at any rate, you have the letters, and at the moment we are opposed to the permitting as it stands, and we're obviously willing to work with our colleagues and to try to come up with the best resolution. But at the moment we speak unequivocally against the proposal.
Thank you, sir. Mr.
Thank you.
Fox.
It's my understanding the application does not say anything about dredging. You mentioned that if you were to use that shoal area that you'd have to dredge.
We're not
approving that or disapproving that today.
Right. No, I know that, but does that means an additional application would have to come forward, is that right, to gain dredging.
Right.
And this really is, right, I'm not sure when this was taken. There's a small boat right in there that draws perhaps 18 inches of water or less, and that would be okay. But beyond that, right up to that pier, at low tide, it is very shoal water, and anybody coming in there can get with drawing more than a couple of feet is going to get grounded.
Well, the other point you made is that. the people on the shore there, because of their large investment in their property, any loss of access to the water or whatever would be a deterioration in that. But when they bought the property without riparian rights, so you don't have any rights to use that water anyway, is my understanding.
I think you'll hear something else about that in a few minutes. I think there's some point of discussion here, and as I say, we haven't lived there, for 3 years, so I don't know all the early history. So I'll defer that to those who do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Who's next?
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Sylvia Bunsavage, and I live in Urbana Harbor. I'm a member of the Homeowners Association, and we are also on a slip there. I'm speaking today on behalf of Mr. Bruce Woodruff, who could not be here. He's also a homeowner as well as a slip owner. The letter, I will give you a copy of the letter and everything. He's addressed it to Mr. Nykerk, and he says, "The purpose of this letter is to advise you of my serious apprehension concerning the application for permit by the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club that addresses possible changes to the extensive docks in Urbana Harbor. I am a graduate ocean engineer, naval architect, marine engineer from MIT by training, and have many concerns about the way this permit and project has been handled. I would be present for the meeting on April 22 were it not for my support of the U.S. Coast Guard's deep water shipbuilding program in Washington, D.C. My wife and I are both members of the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club as well as the Urbana Harbor Homeowners Association. When we purchased our home, we understood from our attorney, then Middlesex County Commonwealth Attorney James Ward, that we had riparian rights to Urbana Creek. That is, a dock could be built by any two property owners where their lots joined at the water. If the permit in any way allows the docks to be joined, then this will nullify our riparian rights. Please see the references to both the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club and Urbana Harbor Homeowners Association, which specifically state the riparian rights requirement repeatedly and supported by the Army Corps of Engineers. I agree that the Yacht Club docks need some improvement and possible upgrades. My concern is that the subject permit is being requested as a blank check without the proper study and project sequencing that I am accustomed to in marine projects. I would like to make the following points for your consideration. Number one, to the best of my knowledge, there has been no professional assessment of the underwater condition of the docks. There appears simply to be a rush to replace them with a floating dock. Number two, after such a study is complete, then recommendations with cost data and pros cons should be presented to Yacht Club members and homeowners with input from VMRC, who has much more experience than we do with projects in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. Number three, the initial approval of the permit to build the docks were also approved by the Army Corps of Engineers. Should they not also be involved again for this permit? Number four, only a handful of Yacht Club members or homeowners have ever seen any of the plans, permit requests, or possible costs that are under consideration. We understand that the very nonspecific permit requests the possible following actions: the possible joining of the North and South docks. The subtext for this change is to sell more boat slips that would help pay for the dock improvements. Replacing the dock in kind, for example, pressure-treated wood. This could be accomplished gradually on an annual basis, that is, replace the dock structure in a phase approach. Replacing using floating docks, or replacement using cement, or replacement using aluminum. Please consider holding this permit in abeyance until more facts about these docks can be obtained, hopefully by having VMRC and the Army Corps assist us in this process and gaining total involvement by all members of the Yacht Club and the homeowners. Thank you, Bruce Woodruff."
Thank you. And I will. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
My name is John Bunsevich. My wife and I reside at 455 Molly's Way in Urbana Harbor, or according to the plat, we live on Lot 11. Mm-hmm. We are also members of the Urbana Harbor Yacht Club as a condominium. We are opposed to the connection of the North and South Docks for the following reasons. For brevity, I will give you 8 concise reasons. You may want to elaborate on them. 1, the 96-foot opening has been there for the entire history of the condominium. This is a service opening, the one and only opening that gives water access to approximately 1/4 mile of private shoreline. The implied connection was the right of the declarant until the 7th anniversary. The declaration has expired. 3, the 96-foot opening is not a part of the footprint of the current piers. 4, the connection will prevent access to shoreline repairs and prevent access to address emergencies that may arise. We sent photographs that were previously sent to you to better illustrate the shoreline that you confirmed that the repairs are only practical by water. 5, the connection will not permit homeowners to access water to the Urbana Creek or to the Rappahannock. 6, the north and south piers were constructed to be physically independent with their own parking lot, entrance bridges, convenience docks, and shower facilities. 7, the connection will do irreparable harm to the value of the private shoreline properties. The director stated that the connection slips will help defray their costs. Why? Why are they willing to compromise the value of our property to defray their costs? And according to the Department of the Army permit, it states verbatim that no attempt shall be made by the permittee to prevent full and free use by the public of all the navigable waters at or adjacent to the activity authorized by the permit. I think these are 8 pertinent points that, taken individually or total, implies that that connection should not be made. Would you want me to repeat any or clarify?
Yes, I think we understood. Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Fine.
Hello. My name is Dr. Ellen Woodruff, and it was doubtful that I would be able to make it today. So I'm hoping that you can understand me because of a viral infection that I have.
Are you Bruce Woodruff?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
And he would have been here if he could have. And I hope that you can hear me. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Robert Nykirk, whom I have never met, but who has been really the channel of communication between me, who happens to be a yacht club member, and the board of directors from the yacht club. And I really appreciate his effect at attempting to keep communications open. When I arrived here today, I was shown this Habitat Management Division evaluation, and I believe that you have this. I have copies of my letter which I'm going to pass out to you, and I'm going to try to cross-reference in a very brief time my response to some of the things that are published in this Habitat Management Division evaluation. Thank you. And I'm going to ask if I could to have this go back, these pictures, for a moment, because I think they're very valuable.
Sure. Which one would you like?
Maybe two before this one.
Excuse me. Here, see if we can make it go back. There?
No, keep going. Well, go back then. Well, we can leave it at that one for the time being. That makes something.
This is hers, I believe.
Thank you. Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. If you look at paragraph, I think it's 1, 2, 3, there has been an eminent lack of communication. And I would ask you to look at the blue pages that were provided and look at page 5-1, 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, 5-5. Members of the Yacht Club, many of whom, about one-third of them, are homeowners. And we have been asking repeatedly for information, and it has been not forthcoming. Please understand, and again, I have a copy here from the Yacht Club itself, although they've updated it, and it's only 2007, so it gets a year old. Of those members, and about one-third of them, are homeowners. So we have our foot, if you will, in both camps. And we're looking for the best from both camps.
Doctor, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Before we go any further? It seems to me, in listening, I'm getting a sense that, from the gentleman that testified initially, that the lack of communication is causing significant problem.
As yes.
It would seem to me that in order to provide the best product to the commission, keeping in mind that as a commission, we react to permit application.
Mm-hmm.
The commission, I think,'s responsibility is to separate the wheat, the chaff, and determine mm-hmm. what's in the best interest. We have spent time on this today, and I'm willing to give my position as far as the decision is concerned, but I'm afraid it wouldn't be the most informed decision I could possibly
That's
make.
True.
And I would defer to my former colleague who was the consummate compromiser when it came to situations like this. I think y'all need to get together.
I have 7 very quick points if I can bring them up. And I drove down here last night. I have a viral infection.
Yes,
and I apologize.
I'm just to the point now where it's like a lot of misunderstanding amongst a lot of neighbors that have a lot of mutual interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they
very
need to
wise.
Be vetted and aired before it comes to this commission to make a decision.
I totally agree. I don't know how it got this far and how it wasted your time.
It's kind of one of those situations where, like I said, we react to what we have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go and start
you're right.
playing peacemaker or a negotiator until it gets to here, and that's what I mm-hmm. see as my job.
Very wise.
Proceed.
I'm just going to run through as quickly as I can because you've had a lot of time on this issue. And if I can just point this out, how do I use this? I'm doing this the wrong way. I need help. How do I use this clicker?
This is a pointer, not a that red button.
The red button will do it? Okay. First, fire issues and safety issues. All right? The existing break, and this was mentioned before, but it cannot be emphasized enough, this break right here. Okay? That is a natural firewall if ever a fire should erupt. There are many, many, many boats. As you can see, some of these are empty. This is an old photograph. And these boats carry, many of them, either large tanks of marine, gasoline, or diesel fuel. When one such boat catches on fire, all neighboring boats are at risk like a Japanese or Chinese firecracker. Our boat was moored in Sesuet Harbor in West Dennis, Massachusetts on Cape Cod Bay. when a boat that had improperly vented it and allowed gas fumes to build exploded. And when you see a boat like that on fire, you better believe it instills the fear of God into you. Please notice right here, that's the remains of a 5,000 square foot home that was demolished by fire, by a lightning strike. If you go in here now and update it, many of these are very high mast sailboats, which could be construed as lightning rods. I want to go back, and I don't know how to, but there was a little pond. Could you help me just to... And believe it or not, this, according to some of the firemen that were there, they tried to pump water out of the existing pond, which I think is two more up. There's the pond. And believe it or not, now we're talking about rural Virginia here. They had to call pumpers, as they call them, from outside the Middlesex County, because the one pumper that they had was attempting to pump water out of that pond, and the suction caused a turtle to obscure the water. Thank you, because this is what was reported. So fire is a real, real, real hazard to us, especially when you look at this particular home, which was burned to the ground and now has, and it's a wonderful visual of what I mentioned in here, it has a concrete driveway to nowhere. All right? We've already covered coastal erosion control and also felled trees, naturally felled trees. There are legal riparian rights issues. We bought our home in 2000. And my husband, a marine engineer by trade, went out of his way to make very certain that we had riparian rights and that those docks would never be closed. And that's what we were told. And we were shown documentation in 2000 to that being true. We were never apprised of that ever having been changed. Nobody ever notified or communicated with us. Traffic issues within the Urbana Harbor subdivision, and I raised this issue, number four, in this letter, only because it seems as if the two board members that have brought this to you have initially said that the 10 slips would be sold off, and it's in some of this blue document here that you have, to pay for the repair of these docks. And now it seems they've been adding that their members must have the ability to walk up those docks to the swimming pool. Within the subdivision, there was forethought and there was planning as to how our subdivision would marry two distinct populations. One, people that live there permanently, homeowners and slip owners, both. And then those that just lived as transients on those boats. To that end, there was a north facility, toilet, shower facility, etc., and parking lot. And now all of this is going to change a very delicate balance. Something that has not been brought to your attention to date that I'm aware of, and I think you of all people need to know, and I personally and my husband asks for your help with this. It's an ecological issue. Right here, right there, is the pump out station. Please take a look at all of these totally full. And I'm not talking about small boats here. That pump out station has never, ever functioned.
Have you called the Department of Health and advised them of that? That's not out of our purview.
But what I'm saying to you is it's an ecological issue. I want to protect the health of Urbana Creek, of the Rappahannock River, and of the watershed, the complete Chesapeake watershed. My last issue that has not been brought up is the aquifer. The Urbana Harbor Yacht Club uses the homeowner's water system, well water system, and on more than one occasion, including the time in 2000 when my husband and I first occupied our home, we didn't have a drop of water. Not a drop. And we thought, well, it must be something with, you know, buying a new home. And then neighbors came and rang the bell and said, do you have any, I don't know, 10,000 gallons of our water, fresh water, well water, went into the creek because somebody on the piers left their hose open. This has recently happened yet again. And this time I think we were told that the connecting hose sprung a leak. I am in shock that a letter dated November 28th, 07 from the health department that I just read in this blue document, I hadn't read it before, says that there isn't, they are, meaning the yacht club, is in compliance with sanitary regulations for marinas and boating, and that they have no objection to the issuance of this permit. I don't see how they could do that when you have approximately 120 boats that can't empty their onboard waste as they're supposed to. And I think it kind of leads you, in a, I hope, to see that even when problems are presented to this yacht club, it's like a vacuum, as you say, with communications coming back, all right? The last thing that, another thing, I could go on and on forever, is that, yes, this is contaminated for shellfish. I wonder why. In other words, there can be no commercial shellfishing here, and yet we have the Urbana Oyster Festival. Don't you find this somewhat incongruous? Really, I would ask you to either deny this outright until, quote unquote, we get our communication patterns put down, where certified letters that I have sent have not been responded to until I have had to send other certified letters. And these are internal issues that I won't go into.
Ma'am, and that's not in our jurisdiction
mm-hmm.
as well. That's,
I will,
and I'm going to have to cut you off. We've spent over an hour on this matter. We've got a lot.
No offense, but I spent over an hour driving through a rainstorm last night to drive down here from Richmond.
I understand.
And I am so pleased to be able to talk to somebody that is listening. So I thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to give you this. This is the 2007 membership directory, and you can see how many of the yacht club belong to the Homeowners Association.
Chip, can you grab that for me, please?
And in closing, I want to thank Mr. Nykirk, because I thought to myself, this is bizarre to have to communicate through the state.
Yep.
And I could go on and on and on, and I won't, but I really want to thank each and every one of you.
Thank you.
For allowing me this opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am.
You.
The applicant has 2 minutes to rebut what was said.
Thanks, sir. Very quickly, I will try to identify a few things that may be pertinent. I'm sorry, I'm Ed Blanton. Yes. First of all, we have with us 45 letters of those who approve of our methods and the way we're going about this project. Let me say something about communications. Dave here is works with this, and he has created a website for the yacht club. We deal extensively with emails. The communications is there. If they choose to use it. We just had an annual meeting the 12th, a couple weeks ago. This was discussed in a way, I'll use that sort of in quotations, as a bit contentious, the entire meeting was. But this was discussed. A lot of the problems that we have, what we're trying to do is fix them. And this is why we're applying for this, so that we can continue on with a process that will ultimately lead to a better marina for everybody. Thank you.
Do you believe that another face-to-face meeting will solve anything, or is it so contentious that it won't solve it?
I don't think it will do any good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
One quick question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Schick.
So you had a vote of your entire membership?
Not yet. No, sir. What we've done is basically polled everybody, knowing we were coming to this meeting with some objection.
Ma'am?
What we would try to do is to identify those people who would have been here if they could have. And instead, we got letters, emails, that sort of thing from them.
But your board has voted on it.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of people that wanted to come, and we, for the very reason of why this went on for so long, we said it'd be better to have letters showing that you're in favor instead of giving a speech.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I meant that. Matters before the commission for discussion and action.
Thank you.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just ask a question for our council. We clearly have some disagreement between members and officers of the board. Do they have proper standing as applicants today?
I think the people who are in...
Excuse me. Will you please allow this meeting to be conducted in an orderly manner? Thank you. Continue, Council.
People who are properly elected according with bylaws of the organization or what have you are those who represent have the authority given to them in the bylaws and the Constitution. We don't know what that is right now. But I'm assuming that that's proper.
Okay, and the other question I had related
Robbins.
To some of this... Thank you. Related to some of the question... questions that were points that were raised about the severing of the riparian rights at the time of sale of the property.
We don't have the documents. We don't know one way or the other. There was talk, some discussion about declarations, but it seems to me like declarations are the type of thing that when you're starting a new entity, that somebody starts it with declarations, and then over time that's overtaken by somebody else, and people make changes. We just don't have the documents to answer those questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick.
Yeah, I understand the applicant's concerns here. I see this all the time in, you know, my little world of my little marina and involvement with yacht clubs and other people. But you know, the club has an elected body, and they're authorized to do this type of work. I assume that's if it's not, it's not for us to decide. So I'm inclined to approve this, make a motion to approve this permit. I can't remember why though we're not approving it as requested for the number of slips, and I guess it's because we've been here an hour on it. And so very quickly, why are we?
Yeah, what was the reasons of the staff's conditions?
The
only Mr. Nykirk.
The only rationale provided for the additional 10 slips was to help pay for the cost of building the rebuilding the facility. And we didn't feel like that was necessarily justified, especially given the kind of the history of this facility and the way it developed from a community amenity
right.
into a documentium-type facility.
Okay.
Mr. Fox.
I guess I'm troubled by whether the landowners have riparian rights or whether they do not. And it would seem, and that makes a difference to me as to whether they really have any rights to ask for the gap to remain.
Well,
I see arguments for the gap to remain, I respect the fact that we've talked about this for over an hour, but I was wondering whether we could just table it and ask them to come back at a future date with more information.
I'll ask Carl if that's a matter that we would be in a position to discuss. Go ahead, Carl.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
The question would be, do these individuals or do they not have riparian rights? And if then should they be afforded an opportunity to come back to this commission, provide legal documentation for us to make a determination as to whether or not they have riparian rights as it relates to our decision-making process?
Well, the problem there is, as you know, this commission has no authority to make any property determinations, whether it be upland or riparian rights. And to the extent that you would issue a permit or grant a permit, it would be subject to any riparian rights. And if there are riparian rights being violated as a result of that permit, then the individuals who claim they have them are perfectly free to go to court to try to enforce them and prevent the construction of the pier.
Did I accurately couch your concerns?
That, yeah.
Thanks. Further discussion?
I'd like to make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Schick.
I move that we approve this application as staff has recommended. Also, I'd like to add that there would be a 30-day notice period for moving a section of the dock, and that in the marina plan, there will be a procedure set in place for how any section of the docks would be moved to get gain access to the shoreline.
Second to the motion?
Second.
I'm troubled by the removal of the gap and
period of time.
The covering of that gap. And I was wondering if the maker of the motion would allow the gap to remain.
Well, I mean, the applicants have asked for it, the gap to be there, to be closed for the use of the facility. And I see now that it's separate than from the homeowners association, that the use of the marina is different. And I can see why the marina would want to have closed in. I don't see where the gap. They have full access underneath the bridge for any small power boat that has the draft to get in there. So I'd like to unless the applicant wishes to concede that, I see he's shaking his head no. I'd like to keep it in there.
I guess I'm concerned about fire and access. Well, access and right. Fire, and also the fact that it is a fire break.
Well,
and whether it would create an unsafe condition.
The break at that point, there would need to be more breaks than that to be an effective situation. Now, as far as access, really, they need dry hydrants installed, and they need to work with their local fire department. So they aren't trying to pump from one lake, but they could pump from anywhere on the shoreline. And actually, the marina could even help in that by having the dry hydrants on there. And I'd like to actually add that into the marina plan. To have them as access to dry hydrants to supply water to the shoreline for fire protection, and at that point in time they could even purchase a boat that could hook up to these dry hydrants that could get underneath the dock. You don't need a very big boat to do that, to supply water for fire protection. I don't think the gap would serve much in access for fire protection.
The motion is second. We'll have to determine once again, as counsel has advised me, is pertaining to the royalties. Does the commission believe that the royalty should be assessed based on the old style of doing it on the replacement slips, or should it be assessed based on the new policy of the bowl footprint, entire area?
I'd like to have it assessed to the old, considering that they aren't getting the additional slips, and this would help them in the to have an old facility in decline is the worst alternative of all.
Okay.
And I think this would help to get this facility back up to snuff.
And all that's contained in your motion?
Yes.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Mr. Fox votes no. Motion carries 8-1. Thank you. We'll adjourn and be in adjournment until around 1:45.